ようこみましょうへようこそ。
Welcome back to the Yoko Miwa Show. I'm Jason Crane, here with Yoko as always. Hi, Yoko.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. Last time, we kind of left off, and we talked just a tiny bit about it, but we kind of left off around the time of the Kobe earthquake. And that's where we're going to start today, and we're going to talk about the earthquake itself and its effect on your life. And I thought maybe, just as a background for people, we should tell people when the Kobe earthquake was and how severe it was.
Yeah, it happened 1995. It was, I think, magnitude 7.3. That's what I read. I remember it was just really big earthquake. And a lot of people were killed. 6,500 people were killed. And, you know, a lot of people got injured too. And I wasn't injured or anything. I was living very close to my parents' house in my city in Kobe. It's like, you know, 5 minutes drive, you know, that close.
Okay. But
that morning actually happened really early morning, like a little bit after 6 a.m., I believe. And I was sleeping, of course. And all of a sudden, I heard huge noise. Sounds like a huge truck hit your house. And I was living in an apartment, so I thought, wow, you know, what is it? It's like a huge noise. And I kind of woke up. And the next thing, I felt something underneath, you know, from like earth, kind of like really big, I can't say like, boom, really. You know, hit my body.
Yeah. Were you on the ground floor of this apartment?
No, I was second floor.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But I was like, wow. And then I was so scared. And next thing you heard was huge noise, like a. And then, like, you know, the whole building was shaking so bad. I had no idea what was going on. You know, so I thought, oh, this is the end of the world. Everybody's going to die right now.
Wow.
You know, because I didn't know that's an earthquake. I thought something just wrong, you know, something wrong. And I got so scared and I thought the ceiling is going to come down and I'm going to be killed. The whole time I was looking at the ceiling, oh, I'm going to be crushed. I'm going to die now. And it was shaking so bad. And you know, we always thought you go under the table when when big earthquake happened, you gotta go under the table. So I saw in the living room, I have a table, I wanted to go underneath, but even I couldn't move because it was so, you know, the shaking so bad. I was just holding on to the wall and then just, please, oh my God, please stop. And I'm gonna die. And, you know, I felt so long, but I guess it's, you know, I don't know how long it was, you know, less than 1 minute or something. But first thing I thought was, oh, I have to call my mom, my parents. And I, you know, I called my mom, but it didn't work because a lot of people were calling at the same time.
Sure.
Also phone line, you know, destroyed everything. So I got so worried, oh my gosh, they might be dead. You know, something happened in the house. And I ran outside. Everybody was panicking, you know, like, and then people were like, you know, yelling and then knocking on the door. There's somebody, old lady living, doesn't answer the door. And then like, hello. And everybody was running around and panicking. So got in the car and tried to go home. But like, you know, the street was really messed up too. Like, you know, really bad condition. And somehow went home and realized they were okay. And then my sister, older sister, she was living another apartment very close to. So she ran home, She said she ran home without shoes because she got
Oh,
so
wow.
panicked.
Yeah.
And we all got together, you know, right after, and we're crying and hugging. Oh, that's good, we're alive, you know. But I didn't know that, I didn't have the information, you know, right away. So I didn't know how big the earthquake was.
Sure.
And I was planning to go to Hokkaido 2 days later for skiing with my friend.
Hokkaido, just so people know, is the far northest island of Japan.
Right. It has, you know, lots of snow, like a Boston, you know, it's a beautiful place. And I was, you know, whole time I was saying to my sister, I have to send my package, you know, I have to send my ski stuff because I'm going to ski to Hokkaido, you know. She's like, I don't think you're going there. I was like, really? Yeah. You don't think? I said, I have no idea. And we're watching TV, and then little by little, we hear the news, and then found out, wow, it's really bad. Like, even highway, you know, cut off in the middle, the car going down and crashing on the, you know, from the second.
Yeah.
You know, really high place to the, you know, to the main road. It's terrible, terrible thing happening and everywhere. And then, of course, trains stopped. No, of course, no airplane. And
was the center of the earthquake very close to Kobe itself?
Actually, happened was in Awajishima, which is tiny island.
Okay.
Very close to where I live, you know. But the effect in the center of Kobe. Actually, we were very close to the Awajishima, the little island, but I went to different direction.
Okay.
To the center of Kobe, which is like a 20-minute drive from my house.
Okay.
But yeah, and hit center of Kobe, and there are a lot of old buildings and restaurants, you know, it's a really busy place, but a lot of buildings were really old too. And of course, big buildings, everything. But that was like early in the morning. It was a little before people start cooking. So it was better, but still, you know, a lot of fire happened.
Sure.
And that was the worst thing happened. You know, a lot of people got killed by fire. Because buildings, you know, collapsed, and then they couldn't escape and fire, and a lot of people were still alive, and then they just, you know, burned. It's
yeah.
So bad. It's terrible, terrible. But we started to hear a lot of news like that, and later of the day, and we're like, oh my gosh, oh my god, and all day watching news and then crying, like, you know. Like happen every day. Basically.
Where your parents were, at least you still had power. It seems like if you had, they had
actually,
the television
yes,
on.
We lost
okay.
the power a very short time, and then we got it right after. So yeah, a lot of people didn't have like a heater.
Yeah.
You know, it was in it was in January. It was really cold, you know, winter. So yeah, it was really tough for a lot of people living without. You know, power and heater, that was bad. But so we were okay.
Did you spend that whole first day with your parents and your sister just
watching
the news? And
exactly. Actually, we stayed together for almost like a month together.
Oh, wow.
After that, because the first of all, we didn't have water. Water was the biggest issue for us. You know, food was somehow okay. We have something to eat. But, you know, long line, if you go to supermarket or something, like, you know, people lining outside. Once you get in, it's nothing left.
Yeah.
The first day, I remember we went to drugstore to buy something. And, like, everything is on the floor. And just, you know, you can't find. You grab something you need and, like... whatever you can find something you need to. Yeah, I forgot to tell you that when earthquake happened, it was shaking so bad, like everything fell from the kitchen counter or the shelf. You know, I had like a food leftover winter, so I kind of left food, cooked food, like a miso soup or something, and
sure.
Everything was on the ground, like dishes and then bottles was such a mess, really bad. And actually, I was sleeping in front of the big the furniture too, and it didn't fall, but a lot of people got killed by, you know, the big furniture.
Sure. Yeah. Falling on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so how did you get water when the water wasn't working?
We actually, my mom and I drove all day, basically like every day, drive around, like have a big container in a car. And sometimes if you go to park or cemetery, there's a, you know, water, like a faucet thing, you know,
sure.
You can use it, but mostly it's broken or the water stopped, but some of them are still working, and you find it, you just get as much as water you get every day, bring it home. But if you put it in the toilet, you know, the tank, it's like one flush,
right?
You know, huge tank, you know, just you can't. So, you know, we had to make a plan. Okay, we use this for this. And it's
tiny
water we had to share every day. So, but all day long, what I remember was looking for water. And then we drove to our friend's house, our, you know, like a grandparents' house, and get a bunch of water in the car as much as possible. That's all the time we were doing it. No shower too. So like once a while, like maybe once a week or once a 5 days. It you know, fortunately it was winter time. So
sure.
But we had to visit somebody's house and take a shower, you know, once a while. That was tough.
And so did you know people who were more severely affected than you were, people that you knew personally?
Some, I mean, not many. One of my friends lost his father, from earthquake, but not many people. But actually, the music school I was teaching at, Makoto's father's music school, also the music school, that was in the center of Kobe. And actually, the music school was destroyed. Also, his jazz club, that was in the center of Kobe too. So it was destroyed also. They had in a music school, he had several pianos and a B3 and organ. And I think one of the B3 might have been ruined by water, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. And so basically all the teachers lost the teaching job for a while. They told us, you know, you cannot teach here for a while, so you do your own work, whatever you can find. Good luck, you know.
And did they relocate that school, or did they rebuild the building it had been in? What happened?
Oh, you know, they never rebuilt the even jazz club or the music school. They relocated somewhere else.
Okay.
Makoto's father never open jazz club again. That was really sad. That was his thing, you know. He was playing every night, every weekend. But yeah, it's bad.
I remember 1995 was 3 years after the first time I moved home from Japan. And when I moved home, my parents had an exchange student from Kobe.
Oh.
And so he went home, I think, in 1994, and then, you know, we stayed in touch with him. And I remember when the earthquake happened, you know, trying, and of course it was impossible, but trying to get a hold of him to find out, you know, right, if he was okay and his family was okay. And, you know, like you described, I mean, there was no phone contact, you know, for days for the most part. And we did eventually, you know, obviously we eventually got a hold of him, but it took quite a while. And there's not, even though we were obviously 10,000 miles away, there's a very kind of helpless feeling associated with knowing someone that you care about who's in a situation like that, and you can't, there's nothing you can do, and you can't even determine whether the person is okay or not.
I know. It was, you know, like all every day people looking for their family members, you know, on TV or, I don't know, like looking for somebody, can't find, can't contact. Yeah.
What was life? I mean, you've described, you know, kind of having to get water and those kinds of things. But what was kind of general life in Kobe like after the earthquake?
Right. There was a lot of crime scenes was happening too, you know, because people lost the house, you know, and I don't know. It changed a lot. But we couldn't go to there for a long time because our train stopped. And basically, like, nighttime was all dark. It was kind of a dangerous place to go anyway. It was, like, completely changed from really, you know, a lot of, you know, restaurants and people hanging out all the time. All of a sudden, like, completely dark and
sure.
Scary, you know, place. Yeah. And
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, no. No trains working for a long time. Finally, okay, now trains working. You can go to Kobe if you like, you know. And actually, the music school contacted us. Oh, you can come to school today or tomorrow. We have to take out some stuff from the building. And so first time I ride train going to the, you know, the city, a lot of people in the train, but you know, a lot of people the same thing, like first time riding train to going to Kobe.
Sure.
And usually you see a lot of buildings from your windows, right? Like while you're riding a train. All of a sudden, like this time, nothing. You see outside, nothing. It's all burned.
Wow.
Like, you see some houses like destroyed and like, you know, there's just pieces. And then mostly it's burned black and brown and no buildings. And like, we're all like silence in the train. Everybody, nobody's speaking, like looking outside and like shocked. And, you know, I had tears coming out, you know. Everybody was almost crying. It was really sad.
How long after the earthquake was that you went into downtown for the first time?
I think it was at least 2 or 3 weeks later.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was it like when you got to the elementary school?
To the, I mean, just you get out to, you know, station. Usually you see a bunch of buildings and a department store. You know, you see thing you usually remember, right? And it's all gone, and then you look around like, where am I?
Yeah,
because you kind of, you know, feel like you got lost. Oh my gosh, it's gone. It's really shocking. And then walk into the school and almost crying, and then you see your friends, teachers, you know, getting together, and then okay, we can go inside. Really short time. They gave us a permission to get in today, only, you know, 5-10 minutes. Okay, now we go now, and we're like run inside the building and like grab books and like, okay, we got everything. Okay, you know, whole time we were so scared, you know.
So the building was still standing.
Yeah, yes, it was. But, you know, the government said it's, you know, this building is not safe to live. So
sure.
You cannot stay there. But only one day they knew everybody had to come back to get the stuff. So a lot of companies in there too. So yeah, that's what we did one day.
And how long until life returned to something approaching normal for the people of Kobe?
Yeah, I don't remember, but a very long time. Yeah, several months at least. You know, people started to take a train maybe months later, but it took a while to rebuild everything. But, you know, they did quicker than we thought. It was amazing. I think 1 year, 2 years, they built completely new city in Kobe. Yeah.
And what happened to you in terms of work? I mean, you had just lost your job at the Ozone School. What did you do when that happened?
I think I was just staying home for a while and then doing small gigs. If you drive a little outside of city, you know, it's okay, especially the other side, you know, you don't go to the downtown. So it's okay. So we did some gigs. You know, I was doing lots of gigs with singers at that point. So doing that a little bit and then teaching at home, piano to little kids. So, but not much. And staying home and thinking, what should I do now? And then, okay, because I don't have much to do right now, maybe I should study jazz again. That made me think I want to go to a school, Koyo Conservatory, which is the affiliate school of Berkeley in Japan.
Okay.
Which is in a little bit outside of Kobe too, but the building was destroyed too. So they had a little extra building, you know, they can have students studying there. So I entered that school. It's like, it's like a conservatory. So right now you can transfer credit from that school to Berkeley. When I was a student, it wasn't, you know, like that yet, but still, affiliated school or Berkeley.
Well, that might be a good place to stop, actually. Mm-hmm. When we talk next time, sure. We can pick it up at Koyo Conservatory and, mm-hmm. and talk about what happened there.
Right.
Well, I mean, thanks for sharing that story. I know it's was a very difficult time, and I appreciate you telling us the story.
Yeah, thank you.
As we always do, we're going to end with a song. What have you got picked out for us this time?
Okay. Let's see. Actually, assistant chair of the piano department at Berklee College of Music, is Tony Jermain. His name is Tony Jermain. He wrote me a song. It's called Yoko's Waltz. When I started to teach at Berklee, one day he knocked my door and he said, I have something for you. And he showed me the paper, you know, just music sheet. It says Yoko's Waltz. Wow. So I just practiced like 5 to 10 minutes and then went back to his room and, hey, Tony, thank you for writing a song for me. And then I played it for him like this. And he was like, yes, that's what exactly I was, you know, thinking. Perfect. So I recorded the song on my latest album, Act Naturally, from JVC. So Yoko's Waltz.